I want to talk to you guys tonight about the Lord's love. I want to talk to you about you, me, and our understanding of that. In 1 John 4, 7, and 8, if you want to turn there. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Love is God's very nature. Many people today who are total strangers to God, even many Christians, talk about love and they throw the word around without even thinking about it or having a total understanding of what that word really means. They don't even know what they're actually saying when they say that word. Love has commonly become a good-natured statement reduced to a human emotion or feeling. The word is now commonly used deceitfully and for manipulation by many people. The truth on love, as on everything else, needs to be formed and based on what's in Scripture. The urgent need to know the truth on love is so apparent, not only from what you see by the lost sinner who doesn't know about God, but also from the lack of kindness, spirituality, and forgiveness, which is sadly so evident among those people that call themselves Christians today. There's so little real love for God in the world today. Much of this is because we have such a little understanding of His wondrous love for us and His people. And because His love is so great, it's hard for us to comprehend. The better understanding that we have of His love, the more that we can be a reflection of His love. The love of God is uninfluenced. There's nothing in His objects of His love to call into question. Nothing in man to attract or prompt God's love toward us. The love which man has for one another is because of something that's in us, but the love of God is free. The only reason why God loves any is found in His own sovereign will. In Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8, it says, "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God has loved His people from the beginning. From the beginning. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." God didn't love us because we loved Him. He loved us before we had an understanding of who He was. God loved us. Had God loved us in return for our love for Him, then we'd be in serious trouble. But because He loved us when we were sinners, it's highly important, if God is to be honored and our hearts established, we need to be clear about the precious truth. God's love for me and for each one of you wasn't because of anything in us. Before we were saved, what was there in us to attract the heart of God? Absolutely nothing. On the contrary, there was everything in us to repel God and God's love. We were a sinful, depraved mass of corruption with no good thing in us, but God still loved us from the beginning. I want to talk about God's eternal love. God Himself is eternal, and God is love, and therefore, as God Himself had no beginning, His love had no beginning. This concept is hard for our minds to understand. Nevertheless, What we can't comprehend, we have faith to believe. The testimony of Jeremiah in 31:3 is clear. It says, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." How blessed are we to know that the great and holy God loved us before heaven and earth were called into existence, that He had set His heart upon us from eternity past. This precious truth is shown to us in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." This should cause us to praise Him. It was because God's good will that we came to Him for salvation. How amazing that God's love toward us had no beginning and has no ending. Since it's true from everlasting to everlasting, He is God and God is love, it's equally true that He loves His people from everlasting to everlasting. God's love is infinite and gracious. Now, as I go through this and I talk about God's love, remember that we are to be a reflection of God's love. That's what this is all about, is trying to understand God's love for us, His people, for us to be a reflection of that love. Because as I was going through this, I realized my lack of love, my lack of understanding of love. My lack of love when I tell my wife, "I love you." The lack of love that I have within me, God's love, when I tell my children that I love them. When I see my brothers and sisters and my brother Paul, when he comes over and I say, "I love you," I realize that there's a great depth of love that God has for me, that if I will search Him and seek Him out, He will pour that into me, that I can let that flow to my family, to my friends, to my brothers and sisters. God's love is infinite and gracious. Everything about God is infinite. His presence fills heaven and earth. God's wisdom is unthinkable, for He knows everything past, present, and future. God's power is unimaginable, for there is nothing too hard for Him. So God's love is without limit. It's beautifully illustrated in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." This shows us the grace of God's love. In John 3:16, we're all familiar with the passage. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Christ died not in order to make God love us, but because He did love us. That's why. Calvary is the supreme demonstration of divine love. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, John 13, 34, and 35 gives us instructions. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." What kind of love? This love that I've been talking about. That kind of love. God didn't say love one another when you feel like it, or love one another when you're happy, or love only your friends, and love only your family. No, He said, "Love one another as I loved you." God gave His only Son for us, for each and every person here tonight. God gave His Son for you. It's much easier to love your children and your close friends, but they aren't the only ones that God calls us to love. In Hebrews 13:5 is a promise from God and a perfect example. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Forsake means to quit, give up, or leave behind. Think about that. When you tell somebody you love them, that means you won't forsake them. That means you won't quit. You won't give up on your kids, your wife, your friends, those that are fallen. That means that you won't give up on them, that you'll stand, that you'll pray for them, that you'll love them through those hard times. Don't forsake them. If you say that you love someone, don't forsake them. In life, we'll go through painful afflictions and trials. We're called to be there for one another and to bear one another's burdens. As a believer, we must show the unsaved the love of Christ and pray for them. Let's turn to Luke 10:27. It says, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, guess what? Your neighbor might not like you very much. Your neighbor might be the person at work that can't stand you. But it doesn't matter. Because His strength is within us to endure and to love that person no matter what. Matthew 10:22 says, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. God is still with you and He still loves you no matter what you're going through. He promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I'm going to read a couple letters to you guys by a girl named Maria that she wrote to her parents. And I'm not reading this because of the people in the letter, and I'm not reading it for time's sake, but I'm reading it because of what's in it, God's love and God's mercy. It says, Dear Mom and Dad, I greet you with the love of Christ. I'm doing well and feel blessed. One of my schoolmates, Varia, is a member of a communist youth organization. I've been witnessing to her, and I think I'm finally starting to get through to her. Recently, she said, I cannot understand you at all. So many of the students insult and hurt you, and you love them anyway. I told her that God taught us all to love, not only those who are kind to us, but especially to those who are unkind, that they might see God within us. Varia has been one of the ones to join in the mocking and insults, but that has only made me pray for her even more. Today she asked me if I could really love her too. We embraced and both began to weep. I believe she's very close to receiving Christ. Please pray for her. When you listen to those who loudly deny God, it seems like they mean it. But life shows that many of them really have a great longing in their hearts. And you can hear the groaning of the heart. They seek something and try to cover their inner emptiness with their ungodliness. I will write soon. Please send my love to everyone at home. Maria. And I'm not sure when these letters were written, but a time later that there came another letter, and these are true stories. It says, Dear Mom and Dad, in my last letter, I told you about the atheist girl, Varia. Now I'm happy to tell you the exciting news. Varia has received Christ. She is so different, and she is already witnessing openly to everyone. When Varia first believed, she felt guilty inside. I think she was unhappy because for so long she believed and made a point of telling others that there is no God. She felt that she needed to suffer and pay for this. We went together to the Assembly of the Godless, the Communist Youth Organization meeting. Although I warned her to be reserved, it was useless. After refusing to join in the singing of the communist hymn, Beria went forward to address the whole assembly. She courageously told everyone about accepting Christ as her Savior. She begged everyone to give up their way of sin and come to Christ, and the whole place was silent. When she finished speaking, she sang with an incredible voice the old hymn, "I am not ashamed to proclaim the Christ who died to defend His commandments and the power of His cross." I could only watch helplessly as they took her away. Today is May 9th, and we haven't heard anything about her. Please pray. It's the last one. Dear Mom and Dad, yesterday, August 2nd, I was able to speak with Beria in prison. She was thin and pale, but her eyes were shining with the peace of God and the unearthly joy. My heart bleeds when I think about her. She's only 19. As a believer, she's still a spiritual babe, but she loves the Lord with all her heart and chose to take the most difficult road right away. Please pray for her. They have taken all her things away except the clothes she was wearing. We have taken up collections and sent her packages, but I don't think she receives all the things we send her. When I asked Beria if she regretted what she did, she said no, and if they free me, I would do it again. Don't think that I suffer. I am glad that God loves me so much and gives me the joy to endure for His name's sake. I thank God that we have the peace to understand this. If we are in Christ, no sufferings or frustrations should stop us. I can only pray that my faith will be as strong if I were in her place. We now believe that Beria will be sent to a labor camp in Siberia. I believe God will give her strength she needs to endure. Your Maria. There's two more letters that were written, but that pertains to my message, and I wanted you to hear that because it's a reflection of us. If we love others and we love those that hate us, and that if we don't forsake them and we don't give up on them and we don't quit as Maria did not give up on her friend, it said that she prayed more. The meaner that she was to her, the more she prayed and pressed in and prayed for her salvation. And God answered that prayer and was faithful. And that girl's heart was so changed that she went out to witness for God and was willing to go through persecution. Love's not just a word. It's also, and most importantly, an action. You need to remember that actions speak louder than words. You can tell someone that you love them all that you want, but if you do not show people that you love them, it doesn't mean a thing. The gift of love is a blessing. God loves us. He reveals it in His actions. Do we reveal our love for one another in action? Or do we just say, "I love you," to make ourselves and others feel better? Are you willing to be there for those who are troubled? What are you really willing to do to help one another? Are you willing to be there for those who are troubled? We say that we are, but are we? One of God's greatest gifts of love is what Jesus did for you and me on Calvary. He laid His life down that we might be saved. Are you willing to show God's love to others as God has shown His love to you? If you're willing to lay your life down for the Lord, put others first, and pray often, you will see hearts turn to Christ just as Beria's did. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your great and mighty, sovereign, holy love. Lord God, I pray that each and every person here, Lord God, would be filled up with more of You. Lord, that Your love would be evident in our lives, Lord. God, that we wouldn't just speak words, Lord, that they wouldn't just flow out of our mouth, Lord God, that we wouldn't just say, "I love You," Lord God. Lord, that we would have a grasp, that understanding, Lord, of what love is, and that we would let that action flow forward from our lips from our hands in everything that we do. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come here together. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would fill us with more of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.